Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Dawson Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Austin right now has his phone down. He just discovered that moments ago, so we are trying our best to bring him up. Now, what's really wonderful to me, and by the way, this is, I hope and pray you guys have a wonderful Good Friday. Of course, this is the day that Jesus went to the cross and he died for our sins. And that's what Christians celebrate, and they call it the Good Friday because he did such a good deed for us. And it's basically a holy day for Christian churches and communities. So I want to wish you guys all a Good Friday. And, of course, then Easter is commemorated on Sunday with the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And, you know, it's crazy to me because, you know, this is the first time that I know of, because I haven't been here for the last 2,000 years, but that I know of that Easter services have been basically postponed and Christians are not allowed to go to church today. So it's very frustrating to me that this has actually happened. But, you know, last night I received a really, really good text from one of our listeners, Julie, and it really edified me and uplifted me. She sent it last night late, and it was, I'm going to read you her text, and I'm also going to read you my response to it. It says, "My most sincere apologies for texting you back so late, but I felt led to send this message in response in the quiet hours. Unfortunately, none of the information in this video surprises me. Now, what I had done, I sent her a video that I'm going to talk about in just a second. Whatever you want to call them, the Luciferians, the Illuminati, the Deep State, the Elite, the Rothschilds, the Cabalists, or by any other name, they're all willing hands of Satan. And this is how they have always ruled, century after century. People put way too much hope in a mere human man named Trump to be able to turn the country around. That is something that is only within the power of Almighty God to do, and our country doesn't deserve it because we as a corporate people have turned a blind eye to the butchering of innocent babies who are supposed to be our future, to the total disrespect of our elders who are supposed to teach us how to live godly lives, to the kidnapping and selling of our children in the sex trade, when they were supposed to be the mirror we look into to see our innocent younger selves. But worst of all, we've turned a blind eye to our own personal lives and personal sins. We'd rather entertain ourselves into oblivion with television and movies that we'd die of shame of if anybody knew we had watched, rather than deal with our sins that put a chasm between us and the Father. His word says that the people will be saying peace and safety and then sudden destruction. President Trump was elected and conservatives said, we're saved. But we didn't understand that by cutting the blue wire, that would be Hillary, the timer to the end times kicked into overdrive. The sad thing is that most Christians don't recognize the sudden destruction that is already underway. I feel this in my spirit, and I know I'm not the only one. The only comfort I have is knowing that God will never leave us nor forsake us, and he will be by our side through all that must take place in the coming days. May we all immerse ourselves in God's word so that we truly know who it is that we serve. I pray that you and Austin will continue showing the love of Christ to anyone who will listen and explain the earth-shattering power of prayer to the people. What you do makes a difference in people's lives, spiritually and physically. You are feeding God's army and you are key players in equipping the saints to withstand what is to come. May God richly bless you." My response to her was heartfelt, and I had to think sincerely about what I was going to write, and I knew she had taken a long time to write this text that she had sent me. And quite frankly, I was extremely humbled by what she had said and realized that what she had said was actually truth as far as what's going on in the world around us. So my response was simply this: "Wow, Julie, that was extremely profound, and you are 100% right. Thank you for the positive words concerning me and Austin. Last night, Sharon said to me that I was born to be here for this time to provide a message of hope and to teach what prayer really is and the power we have as a Christian. I'm humbled that God has chosen me, and I am blessed to have such a wonderful son like Austin. I'm also overwhelmed to have such wonderful support from listeners such as yourself. Together we'll make a difference, and many will be saved in these end times. I deeply appreciate you. I will pray for you now, sincerely, in Christ, Ted." So I started praying, and Sharon was still in bed when I picked this up this morning and read it, and I'm in here praying for a long time, and I guess Sharon must have heard me. She came in, and she joined me in prayer, and we're able to finish and complete our prayer time this morning. I was able to pray for you guys, which is my responsibility and my honor. And basically, I just love spending time in prayer with God every day. And I just want to share something with you. You know, Zechariah says, "It's not by power, it's not by might, it's by my spirit, saith the Lord." And you know, and Zechariah was trying to tell us something. It's through the infilling of the Holy Spirit that He enables all of us to do what we need to do as far as in these latter times that we're in. Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as some of you are in the habit of doing, you know, as this end time approaches, as this time approaches. And this is exactly what these globalists have done. They've taken us out of church as the end time approaches. They've taken us out from underneath a corporate anointing. They've taken us out from many preachers who still preach the truth. Now, the name and claim it blabbing guys, they wouldn't have said anything anyhow. They'd have said, basically, it doesn't mean anything. None of this matters. Keep on going and keep on sending me money so you'll be blessed. These guys are going to meet their end together. That's what I feel. They're going to finally realize that what they've done is wrong. And so, guys, we need to understand something, and we need to take a look at it. You know, when you pray, you literally change the fabric of time-space. You literally change everything when you pray. When you pray, it actually creates an energy field around you. And because prayer is a scalar wave, it goes right to the throne room of God. You have that authority and that right now because Jesus died for you, which is being symbolized today on Good Friday. He died for you on Good Friday, which, of course, this is probably a date the Roman Catholic Church set up to correspond to one of their other pagan holidays, which, it, by the way, it really is. But the truth of the matter is, you know, it doesn't matter what the day was. It's the symbology of what happened on that day, on the day that Christ died for you. When He did this, He created a blood covenant with you and the Most High God. And by doing that, He continually provides the healing power through His blood for all time because He's omnipresent. And He allows that to happen to you right now as you're listening to this broadcast. Because as Christians, we have tremendous power that we've been giving because of the covenant we have with God Almighty. Before God gave us Jesus, as far as a sacrifice for us, as basically a person we could go through to go to Him, you know, we had to go through the priests in order to even be in contact with God. And then basically sacrifices had to be given in the temple. They brought doves and sheep and goats and lambs and all types and manners of clean animals, including oxen, into the slaughterhouse of the temple, which is what it basically turned into, where they had huge amounts of blood just flowing from the temple. And the people, for the Jewish people, received forgiveness of the sins because of the sacrifice of the animals they were given. You know, God realized that this wasn't going to be something that was going to work long-term wise because He had seen that the Jews, because the scripture wasn't written in their hearts, basically they had fallen away and they had continued to worship Baal and Moloch and Asherah and all these demonic gods from Egypt and from the Canaanite religions. And He knew that it was going to require more than that. So He sent forth His Son, His only Son, because He loved you so much. And Jesus knew in the Garden of Gethsemane, before Good Friday, that He as an omnipresent being was going to be basically in a timeline that is an omnipresent being. He would always be on the cross. He'd always be with God in the Garden of Eden. He'd always be with God at the right hand in the Day of Judgment. But people need to understand this. I had a pastor come over here yesterday. When you're omnipresent like God is, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, there is no yesterday. There is no tomorrow. It is only now. And now encompasses everything. It means from the beginning of time to the end of time, I am the Alpha and the Omega is what the Word says. That's who God is. And His timeline is everything. And Jesus knew that when he went back to heaven as an omnipresent being, that He would have this in His timeline forever, being on the cross. And He even said to God in the Garden of Gethsemane, if there's any other way, take this cup from Me. But nevertheless, not Mine, but Thine will be done. Guys, that's how much He loved you, that He was willing to do that and follow the guidance of the Father to do what He did for you as a sacrifice for His sin, which we commemorate here on Good Friday. And when we do this, when we believe in God and we have a relationship with God through Christ, we can come boldly to the throne. Why is that? Because when God sees us, He sees Jesus because of the blood. And a holy God cannot be in the presence of a non-holy human being. But because of the blood of Christ that continually sanctifies us and redeems us, what ends up happening is God doesn't see us. He sees Christ in us. And we can therefore petition Him and go directly to that throne. what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross is unprecedented. I mean, it's unbelievable what he did. He was willing to do that for us. And guys, remember this. He loves you. He loves you so much, he was willing to lay down his life for you. And that's with, we all understand that. But then we can really appreciate what Good Friday's all about and what God did through this and for the resurrection that we basically, celebrate on Easter Sunday. That's how important what he did was. But here we are. Here we find ourselves. It says Hebrews 10:25, not giving up to the meeting together as some of you are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The day approaching means the end times and the return of Christ. And we see this day approaching right now, but now our government, our Satan-controlled government, which is what they are, Kabbalist-controlled government, who hate Jesus Christ, who won't even allow Jesus Christ's name to be mentioned. You'll see this over and over again in press briefings. You never hear about Jesus. They decided to take the Easter Sunday celebration away from us because they decided they could do that. And what have we done? We've sat back and we've allowed it to happen. And you know, it's sad because it's the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it boys, the people who don't teach true repentance and who don't teach what the gospel really, really means, who are basically, how should I say, diluting the word of God and not teaching us the whole gospel. They've allowed us to go in now and compromise and say, it's okay if you want to do something wrong or watch porn or commit adultery or do all of these things you know you shouldn't ought to do or believe all this horrible stuff. It's okay. Just come to church here, and even if you're gay, it's all right. Just come on in and relax and chill out and just have fun and enjoy this worship and praise, and God loves you just as you are. And it is true. God loved you so much that he gave Jesus and allowed him to die for you. But guys, he calls us to a life of holiness, of to repentance. And I'm not saying we're going to do it all right, because we're not. Even Paul says, the things that I know that I shouldn't do, these are the things that I do. And the things that I know that I'm not supposed to do, I do these things. And the things I'm not supposed to do, I do those things. And he says, what a wretched man am I. Who will deliver me from this body of death? And he goes, thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm paraphrasing those scriptures, but that's what it says. So we need to understand something. You know, it's not that we're perfect. It's just that we're saved and we're blessed through the blood of the Lamb. And that doesn't mean in our own selves or our own powers. Through what he did for us, it's a gift. It's grace. But that doesn't mean we should willfully sin, that the grace may increase. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? So what we need to do is strive to do the best we possibly can. If you know you're doing something you shouldn't ought to do, repent. Ask God to help you with it. That's all any of us can do. And realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's so important to understand that. But guys, right now as we see this end time coming, it's more important right now, as Julie said, to be in the Word, to be studying the Word, the Bible. To listen to broadcasts like this, you know, we try to bring you an uplifting message every single day in despite of this, because this is the day the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and we shall be glad in it, especially on Good Friday. I love you guys. Austin, are you with me yet?
Yes, that was an excellent intro there. I apologize to everybody. I was having some technical issues with our phone. Apparently a tree landed on a line yesterday and they had intermittent issues, but we got everything up and running here. Office is running, phones are up, Health Masters is up as always. Just want to give everybody a heads up on that if you tried to call in the last few minutes, but we are ready to go. And just and what you said, Dad, and something that's so, it's always been intriguing and it's been so humbling as well, is when you were discussing the issue, not the issue, but the timeline with the Garden of Gethsemane. That's always been a just such a humbling aspect of the Bible to me, when it shows just the humanity of Jesus. It really does, because I mean, he's sitting there asking God Almighty if there's any other option, anything that we can do different and not have to go through what's about to happen in the next couple of days. I'm about it. I mean, basically, that's what he said. I mean, anything you can do, God, just something, anything other than what this is about to happen. And it shows you that even though he knew what was about to happen, how horrific it was about to be, he still did it for us. And, you know, he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do it. I mean, he was God, basically, in the flesh. He could have said, you know what? these people down here, they're a bunch of degenerates. I'm tired of dealing with them. They're just a lost cause. I'm not going to play this game with them anymore. Angels, come on. We're doing exfil. We're done. I'm done playing with these guys. He could have done that. He could have done that. And there's nothing that would have stopped him from doing so. But he knew what he had to do. And it's just interesting to see that when you read that in the book. And it's so humbling to read it. So awesome intro on that. And speaking of what we're seeing here now and what these clowns in the deep state and the government have done now to intentionally prevent so many things from happening, including Easter Sunday, including us to have the ability to travel freely, including the ability for us to maintain a healthy and working economy. Police in Greensville, Mississippi, I don't know if you guys saw this the last couple of days. This happened on last Sunday. They basically went and raided a parking lot at the Temple Baptist Church during a drive-in prayer service and issued $500 fines to everyone in attendance, including many elderly congregants. Pastor Arthur Scott and numerous other congregants posted videos online and talked about it on Todd Starnes' radio show, and they were astonished by the unbelievable aggression of the police department and the mayor's office. Essentially what happened was the mayor had told the pastor of the church that he was signing an executive order that banned all church services, including drive-in church services, until the state's Mississippi shelter-in-place executive order was lifted. Mayor Eric Summons said that no drive-in services were allowed. The pastor said, listen, that's unconstitutional. We are not assembling, you know, illegally or unlawful assembly. We are in our vehicles, closed in our vehicles, basically on a radio channel. And that's what they did. They said, listen, we're going to do this. So Pastor Scott pastored that church for 45 years. He said most of the congregation is elderly, so they didn't have access to smartphones to do it on via Skype or Zoom. The church leaders decided to set up a radio frequency where congregants could sit in their cars in the parking lot and listen as the pastor delivered the message from the pulpit. In other words, the church was complete compliance with social distancing rules. They never got out of the vehicle. They never shook hands or came in contact with one another. They simply sat in their car. Well, the videos, very disturbingly, show police officers walking up to every single door in the parking lot, of every door of every car, telling them to roll down their window, at that point now breaking quarantine procedures as far as being exposed to somebody else, and turn over their driver's license. They were issued a $500 fine for breaking the executive order from the mayor and issued a court summons. And what's really disturbing is this happened in Mississippi, guys. This wasn't in New York or San Francisco. And what we're seeing here is an excuse from governors, mayors all across the country that are diametrically opposed to Jesus Christ and Christianity, using now their power, abusive, I might add, and doing things to prevent people from what they want to do, even from a safe standpoint. These people weren't getting out of their cars. They weren't in a church service like the one in Tampa. There weren't people next to each other and shaking hands. They were completely sealed and confined. And so they've already, a lot of the individuals have already discussed getting a lawyer and basically suing the city for this because of how unbelievably blatant violation of the law they had here. And this is the issue that you have, guys. When you start, it's exactly what Dad said, when you start handing over your power and your freedom to individuals in office, and you give them carte blanche immunity to do whatever they want to do to you, you're pretty much at the disposal of them. They can do whatever they want. And this is why I've encouraged everybody. I'm not telling people to do anything dumb. I'm not telling people to break quarantine guidelines. But what I am telling people to do is use your own mind, use your own brain, and use your own discretion and use wisdom. Just because somebody tells you to do something doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. In China, they used to have the one-child policy that was mandated by the government. If you had more than one child, they executed the child. Let's be clear on that. This is what happens when you deal with a complete and total tyrannical government. They say, this is the law. It doesn't matter if it's not biblical. It doesn't matter if it's unconstitutional. It doesn't matter if it even makes zero sense and has zero positive impact on the community. Just because they say it, they expect it to be enforced. And that's where civil disobedience comes in. And I'm so glad to see these individuals still have this. I'm hoping they still have the church service on Sunday. I hope this gets national coverage and they start basically live streaming anybody that has cameras. They can go in there and say, hey, you know, this is what we're going to do. And quite frankly, if they're in the parking lot and they're sealed up in their car and they're having a church service and a drive-in church service, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that, even from a quarantine standpoint. Because what happens now? Are they going to start going to Publix parking lots in Mississippi and saying, you're sitting in your car in the parking lot, we're fining you now? Here's the issue that's going on. I'm just being real clear with you. Most of the police departments are not issuing a lot of tickets right now. They're not issuing tickets because they don't want to deal with chasing people down for speeding and deal with getting exposed to people and so forth. So what some of these out-of-control law enforcement officers are doing is they're taking it upon themselves to try to generate more revenue for these police departments because they have pretty much zero revenue coming in. There's another issue up in Massachusetts now where the mayor, again, has gone full-blown tyrannical, and Beverly, the city of Beverly, the Board of Health issue, along with the mayor, has now issued a executive order to enforce social distancing and said pedestrian traffic has to flow the foot traffic one way on streets, meaning if they have to walk against traffic on each side of the sidewalk. If you walk on the wrong side of the sidewalk and come towards somebody and an officer sees you, they're now writing $100 citations for people walking on the wrong side of the sidewalk in the wrong direction because that's what the mayor has now demanded they do. Individuals not complying with the order will be subject to the fine, they said. And so, again, what you have here is this coronavirus taking hold of the Constitution, and then these out-of-control governors and mayors on these unbelievably ridiculous power trips going and doing anything they want, and there's no oversight at all because it's an executive order. And this is the issue that happens when a president signs an order like this and he hands carte blanche immunity to do whatever they want in the states, and you see exactly what's happened now. But again, this is why it's so important to be aware and always question the narrative. Dad and I do that all the time. That's why we always bring up questions to you all the time. Question the narrative. What are their motives behind this? What are they doing? What are they basically showing you that they're planning on doing? And they're very clear right now. They're showing us what they want to do. And I mean, now we've seen reports that we've had multiple issues because of so many people having to be put up at home, and now people walking around in masks. Some states mandating, like California now, if I brought it up yesterday, the Sheriff's Department in California now said if you go outside and the Sheriff's Department sees you walking around or going somewhere or going to a store without a mask, they are now going to fine you for not wearing a mask. I kid you not. Like this is some airborne black plague pandemic that's killing 80% of the population. Again, they're seeing how far they can step their bounds, and this is something that everybody needs to realize. If people don't start resisting some of this, and again, I'm not telling people to go around and do dumb stuff. Again, I said that earlier. Don't be blatantly, you know, just trying to be rebellious and do stupid stuff. But on the other hand, too, there has to be a fine line with compliance, but also with freedom. And there is none right now. They are demanding that everything's going compliant. And now we're seeing that robbers and intruders and individuals that want to capitalize on this right now. There was an issue up in Illinois. You guys saw this on the UK Mail. Dad sent it to me this morning. Broad daylight, 1:50 p.m. in the afternoon, home invasion. Home invasion. And luckily, they were blessed. The people that were home, it was a husband and wife and daughter. These guys basically walked up the house. They got them on camera, and they're wearing surgical masks. And they got little, like, almost little uniforms on. They got plastic gloves on. And so, right now, the problem is, you don't know what everybody's doing. Everybody's walking around in masks. They knock on the door. He opens the door. They straight barge in the door. Pull a pistol on him. Pull a pistol on his wife. Hold his wife on the door. Apparently, he was smart enough to have a gun. However he did that in Illinois, I guess he had to have his license and permit and all that. He shot the one intruder, killed him. The other guy ran out the door. He chased him out the front door and beat him until the cops got there. And now the guy that basically got beat, the one intruder, he's being charged also with the murder of the other guy that was his accomplice, which is fantastic. He should. But the reason why I bring that up is the longer they do this right now, the longer this ridiculous stay at home and shutter in place and be scared measure is completely and totally frivolous and has no basis on preventing anything right now, the longer this happens, the more you're going to see intruders become more and more aggressive. So I encourage everybody, and I encourage you very, very sincerely, if you have the ability to do so legally, I suggest you always carry a firearm on you right now. And I very strongly suggest, if you see somebody walking around with a mask or multiple people walking around with a mask and they look shady, and you guys know what I mean. I mean, if you know you're the little old lady walking around, you know, the store with a mask, I mean, whatever. But if you see one or two or three guys that their posturing's not what it should be, they're walking towards you abruptly, they look like they're casing out neighborhoods or driving around or riding bicycles, casing neighborhoods and taking notes or taking photos, that's another thing you can usually see. If you see people walking around and taking photos of places, there's a 90% chance they're casing out your property. I've seen it, been there, done that. If you see people doing that, I suggest you call Sheriff's Department immediately. If they try to engage you, I suggest you tell them to stop immediately. If obviously they go further than that and you're on your property and they try to do bodily harm, you handle the situation that you seem fit from a legal standpoint. But this is going to happen more often. This is not a speculation. This is a fact. Because now you're giving the opportunity for robbers, burglars, and home invaders the ability to wear masks and gloves and fit right in with the public, and nobody thinks otherwise. Any other time at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in broad daylight, if you're walking around a neighborhood with a mask on and gloves on, people are going to say, yeah, this is an issue. There's something going on. Why in the world are you walking around my neighborhood with a mask on? Now, nobody questions it. So again, I encourage everybody, be aware, be awake, and stay frosty. If you see people walking around your neighborhood, your area, parking lots even, because I guarantee you carjackings are going to start going up as well, and robberies as far as in that sort, because people are going to realize that now they now have an opportunity to rob a lot of people that normally aren't going to be suspected of it. Because you're sitting there, and you think about it, you're sitting there in your car, all of a sudden somebody walks up, hey bud, hey, you drop something. They got a mask on, and you go, hey, well, what am I, they look down, bam, they sucker punch you. They take your keys, they take your wallet, they take your phone, and you are done. So again, I encourage everybody, stay awake, stay prepared, and if you are going to go outside and exercise, walk, bicycle, do anything, I also suggest you go in pairs. If you're a female especially, do not be going out and walking alone by yourself right now, even in the daylight. And that's my basic tip for today on Friday. Good Friday today, Dev.
Well said, Austin. In fact, I want to say one more thing about this case up in Illinois. These guys are both white guys. You say, why are you saying they're white? Because they were white, okay? We're going to be the equal opportunity offender on this show. If they're white, they're going to be called white. If they're black, they're black. If they're Hispanic, they're Hispanic. If they're a pink variant of a sponge, they're going to be called a pink variant of a sponge if that's what they want to be. But we're going to call them black or white or pink or what. Yeah, I don't care. I'm sick of political correctness. Political correctness is what got us here. And it's, so nobody wants to talk out about it. But these guys were white. Now, here's the thing. When the guys – here's – I'm going to read you right from this article. He says – this is the thing. He goes – he told investigators, Gatz, this guy who was robbed, claimed to have 200,000 in boxes at the home 20 years ago, and he believed it was there, according to the Daily Herald, and that he knew Broadgatz from a car dealership where they both worked. Okay? So let me say something to you here real quick. This is important. The reason they targeted this guy's house – and this is a nice house that had cameras – but these guys show up in masks, can't be identified, with gloves, no fingerprints. I mean, this is what they decided to do. They're carrying tools and a cutting torch in case they had to get into a safe. Guys, right now is not the time to run your mouth if you have stored food at your home or if you've got a few dollars in silver sitting around or whatever. If you want to run your mouth about anything, say I have a 12-gauge Mossberg shotgun in every room of the house that's fully loaded. All right, there you go. There's a way to run your mouth that nobody's going to say, oh, that'd be fun to go to that house. But don't be bragging about stuff. If you've got stored food for a month or a year, don't talk about it. Just let it go. It's not worth it, guys. It's just not worth it to get all mouthy about this. And tell your kids to shut up. just shut up. Don't talk about stuff we have at home. Don't do that. Don't be posting pictures of a 12-gauge or whatever on social media. Oh, we've got a 12-gauge at the house. Don't talk about the stuff right now. Maintain a low profile right now. Kind of just chill out. Just say, you know what? You know, let it go. I mean, we got people lining up now for miles for food lines. Food lines. You know, we've got people here in Florida who are manufacturing and growing huge amounts of vegetables and all kinds of other products who are having to basically take the products down and all the food and just pile it up and let it rot because their vendors, the people who got the food, were from restaurants and from theme parks. They don't have to supply these people anymore, and they don't have vendors that go into grocery stores, and so they're having to throw the food away, which is going to cause massive shortages. That's why we're having problems with distribution, because the supply lines were never set up to feed the people in grocery stores, because a third of the population ate at restaurants every day and basically takeout and theme parks and all the other things out here in Florida. You know, be very, very careful. And Austin's right about in parking lots. Let me tell you a story that happened to me years ago. I was in a car, and we were in Europe, and we had left Dresden, and we were going up to Berlin, and we were cooking pretty hard. We were on the Autobahn. We were running about $170, and because you rent these cars over there that run 150, 170 miles an hour, and we were basically coming off the Autobahn, and it was April or May. And we came into the first exit into Berlin to the hotel, and there was a giant park on the right-hand side. It was probably 100 acres. And I came off the Autobahn pretty hot, but I wasn't speeding. And my whole windshield was covered in bugs. I mean covered in bugs. I mean to the point you could barely see through the windshield. And, you know, I was trying to wash it off with the wipers, and it wasn't helping. And all of a sudden, two guys come running out of the woods. And they said, "We want to wash your windshield." And I had my windows rolled up and the doors locked. And I said, "No, leave the car alone." And they said, "We're going to wash the windshield." So I was behind three cars at a red light, and it just turned red. And these guys knew how long the cycle of the lights lasted. And since I was like in this car that basically was a nice car, they figured they were going to pick on me, right? Or wash my windshield because they wanted me to give them a tip. And so I thought. So these guys, against my objections, washed the windshield of the car. And I must admit, they did an absolutely excellent job. Excellent job. And so I had a euro, like a dollar, a coin, and I cracked the window like an eighth of an inch. And I handed the guy the euro, and it fell out of his hands, and it fell back into the car, and I couldn't reach it. It went under my seat. And he started saying, you know, "Please open the door. Let me get my euro." And Savannah's in the back seat. She was like 10 years old at the time, and she said, "Dad, open the door. Look how sad he is. He lost the dollar you gave him." And I said, "No, Savannah, I don't know who these guys are, and I'm not going to basically open the door and let him have access to the inside of the car. You know, all of our luggage is in here. Your mom are in here. We're not going to do all that." So the guy gets violent with me and starts screaming and yelling to open the door. And I'm like, "No." And then he actually is going to break the windshield out of this car, man, right? He like pulls his fist back, and about that time, by the grace of God, the light turned green. The cars in front of me went, and I left. And I thought, whoa, what the heck was that all about? Well, about two lights down the road, about a mile down the road on the right-hand side, I got stopped at another light. I thought, well, I'm going to grab that euro from under the seat before I forget about it. So I opened the door, and I reached down, and he had palmed the euro and put a penny back in through the door. In other words, he basically was setting me up to open the door and let him into the car. I got to the hotel. I was staying at the Westin there in Berlin. And I got to the Westin, and I pulled up, and I was, like, mad. And, you guys know I speak German, so I'm at the front desk up there, and I said, I want the police sent here. I want them sent immediately. I have to file a police report. And they said, "What is going on?" I said, "Well, this is what happened." And the guy looked at me and goes, "This happens 100 times a day in Berlin. These are gypsies. They're Romanians. And had you opened the door, they would have hit you upside the head, knifed you, stolen the car, sold your wife and your daughter probably into sex slavery, stolen your luggage, and it all happened inside the woods right there before you could even blink. And so because you didn't open that door, the guy got mad because he couldn't do that to you." And I thought to myself, what kind of city am I in? This is nuts. This kind of stuff happens all the time. And so we were going to stay in Berlin for a few days. I stayed there one night and left. I mean, I got out of Dodge. I said, "The heck with this place. This place is loony." And, you know, plus the downtown area was all this, all the doggone streets were tore up. All the traffic was being directed in different directions, almost impossible to navigate via your navigation system in the car. I had enough of Berlin. Guys, this was, what, 7 years ago. Now, it's much worse than that everywhere. They shut down the economic world engine. You know, we've got people everywhere who are basically going to start getting hungry, and they can't feed their families, and they're going to go back to food lines like we had back in the 20s and the 30s with the Great Depression. And it's going to be a big mess. And so if you've got food stored up, if you've got some ammo stored up, or whatever you have stored up at your house, if you've got a few dollars in coins or whatever, shut up. I mean, I don't mean mean or anything, but just don't talk about it. Don't talk about it, because if you tell people you got food, who are they going to come see once they're hungry? You. And the problem is they won't just come by with them and themselves and their family. They're going to tell their friends, and their friends are going to come by. And pretty soon you're going to start a food bank. Now, if that's your goal and you're going to be bartering and selling food, et cetera, okay, well, whatever you want to do. But, I mean, if that's not your goal, because, guys, remember, if you run out of food, they're not going to believe you. And they're going to want to come in the house and look. Well, let me look if you got any food. And when you don't let them have the food, they're going to come back with friends with guns. And they're going to say, we're going to come back and look now if you got any food in your house. This is what's going to happen if this doesn't stop. Because they've shut down the economic world engine to prevent, according to Catherine Austin Fitz, hyperinflation, which is probably a pretty good reason to shut down the economic world engine. And now they're saying we're going to have recurring bouts of this coronavirus every year. Does that mean they're going to continue to shut down the economic world engine to prevent people from buying stuff? And, you know, up in Vermont, we talked about this the other day, they're telling you that you only buy essentials. And police now in different countries, different communities around the country are saying they're going to start inspecting the stuff that you buy when you leave the grocery store. And you're not going to be allowed to buy anything that's not an essential that they deem to be an essential. Why would they do that? Well, if you don't buy a TV or you don't buy this or you don't buy that, again, it continues to decrease the economic global domestic product.
Yep.
And so all of a sudden, all these different companies and all these different people that are making the TV sets, they don't have any demand for their products anymore. And then you have a massive reduction in the GDP and in purchasing power. I listened to a video last night, Austin, and it's a guy, and I posted it on the website, and the guy's basically saying, you know, that we, you know, we've got a problem now as far as Donald Trump's no longer in power in the White House. You know, I got a news flash for you guys. This didn't happen last week. This happened with John F. Kennedy. This happened with Kennedy, guys. We have not had a sitting president who had very much authority since they killed Kennedy. They made sure of that. Reagan was trying to exert his authority. They shot him a few months into office. You know, after that, it was the CIA running everything through the globalists and through the Council on Foreign Relations and through AIPAC and through the to these cabalists who operate and run everything as far as the money supply. They're in charge of it all. Donald Trump's pretty much a figurehead of a failing corporation right now. It's pretty much what he is. You think, well, that's a terrible way to look at things, Ted. No, it's not really a terrible way. It's a really realistic way of looking at it. I mean, gosh, the guy changes his policies like every day on these press meetings, and, you know, the seal of the President of the United States is no longer on the podium. What the heck's that all about? I mean, I don't know. But the reality is this. We've been usurped. In 1934, the Treasury was taken over by the Federal Reserve. Now we have articles coming out. The Treasury and the Fed have merged. I talked about this the other day. They did this in 1934. Just, you guys weren't told about it. Well, I told you guys about it, but in 1934 they didn't. And then one more thing I want to share with you. I talked to Harrison this morning. He's my youngest son. And we were talking about all of the people, grandma's age, you know, Sharon's mom's age. She's like 86 years old. Her dad's like, you know, 90 years old because, you know, we're in our 60s. And we started talking about why is it that the older population doesn't want to believe what's happening? Well, remember, this is a generation that was raised by the people who fought World War II, the first generation. These were your children when they came home. And these kids believed that the United States was the good guy. You know, it was the good guy wearing the white hat after the bad guy wearing the black hat. You know, you had the good guy with the white hat on the white horse. And they were programmed to believe all of the stuff of the United States. These are the same guys who believe that doctors are gods and that doctors can not be wrong because doctors hold the power of life and death. These are the same guys that didn't question when doctors were promoting the use of cigarettes back in the 50s and 60s on TV commercials as a health item. I mean, stupid stuff they did, but they still believed they were good guys. This is the problem with that generation of people who are like 70 plus. They don't want to believe that they've been compliant in what's happened to the world, and they're completely steeped in normalcy bias, and they don't want to see the truth. And, of course, my age group, same thing, 64-year-olds. you know, a lot of us, we were the baby boomers. We were the ones that were taught to question authority. We were the ones that did all the sit-ins in the 60s or the 70s in these major organizations, in these institutions and learning centers such as, you know, Kent State and, you know, University of Florida and a bunch of other ones here in Florida. We had all these college campuses taken over by the students saying, we don't want this anymore, you know, the flower children age. Well, we grew up to be unbelievably liberal, most of us, as far as our views, because we were raised through the Frankfurt School educational systems. And we didn't realize that we were destroying nationalism and patriotism because we were accepting all of the lies they taught us through the educational systems, which has gotten much worse now. And then you've got Austin's age group. They're completely clueless, except for Austin. He's like one of the only ones. They've got a few friends that are awake. And then you got Harrison, who's 21 years old now. And his age group, all they care about is social media. All they care about is posting stuff on Snapchat and taking selfies and sending the selfies out. I mean, it's ridiculous. And then all of us who've got iPhones, if we're not careful, get Pavlovian conditioned because we turn the ringers on and we turn the bells on. See, my phone doesn't have any ringers. So if some of you send me a text and I don't get back to you for 6 or 8 hours, I didn't know I had the text. I figure it's an emergency. You'll call me. I don't do that. I'm not going to have my phone ring every time I get a text. I'm not going to be Pavlovian conditioned. Now, what does that mean? This is part of Frankfurt School teaching again, and the wretched Pavlovian stuff they brought into the educational system. Pavlov basically kept dogs in a cage, and he'd feed them once a day. And every time he fed them once a day, he'd ring a bell, and they would associate the bell with food that he was giving them. After a while, he could just ring the bell, and they would start salivating without any food present because they were conditioned. And that's how they conditioned us on these doggone iPhones. You can't go out to a restaurant now and not see a family immersed in their iPhones and not even paying any attention to what their children or anyone else is saying at the table because everybody's all caught up in their iPhones. And I don't do that. I mean, my kids will tell you. They start getting on their iPhones, I just stop. I say, whatever you get done, let me know. I'm not going to compete with that. And they're told not to bring this stuff to the dinner table. Why do you want to allow these people who have brought you the Frankfurt School, who have brought you chemtrails, who have brought you the CIA, who have brought you globalism, who have brought you a Sabbatean, Frankist, Kabbalist, Luciferian banking system? Why do you want these same guys who are these cutouts from the Rothschild banking cartels telling you what to do and conditioning you by bells that ring on your telephone? Forget it. It's an emergency. Give me a call. My phone ringer's turned on. I'm not going to mess around with silly bells and chimes on my phone. Very important you guys think through what I'm saying today. Because Bill Gates now, he's like the uber evil guy from some of these James Bond movies. You keep thinking he's going to show up with a golden gun somewhere. I mean, the guy's like a sicko. I mean, and he again is another Rothschild cutout, and he's massively promoting and pushing vaccines. Look what he did in India with the massive increase he has had now in polio. They've run him out of India by massive lawsuits against his organizations because of what he did, increasing the rates of basically polio in those countries by using live vaccine, which they still use here in the United States. And this is the stuff that these globalists do because they want to control the very essence of your soul, literally control you through the mark of the beast, through chemtrails, through nanotechnology, through tying you into a 5G grid. All of these guys, it's what they want. And you got to resist it, especially on a day like today, like Good Friday. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. And guys, I'm going to say one more thing about that. And I will be awake and I will speak the truth. And I will tell you guys what's happening to the best of my ability as long as my voice will work and as long as my brain still functions. Because guys, we've got to resist this with every fiber in our being, with every thought in our head and every physical thing we can do. We've got to say no to these clowns. Because guys, once you say yes, the game's over with. The fight's ended. Because if you give up, you lose. Always remember that. We've got to fight the good fight. So when we get to heaven, God will say to us, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Remember that, guys, for Good Friday. Also, what do you think?
Amen. And, you know, I'm hearing more and more people that I just talked to, because Dad's the same way I am. You know, when you kind of engage certain people, you ask them about stuff, you bring topics up, you can find out real quick if they're even, you know, moderately awake about what's going on. And, you know, the consensus I've been getting from more and more people, you know, I just bring stuff up, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, Bill Gates thinks we just need to get a vaccine and, you know, everything will be better. And multiple people have been like, heck no, I'm not getting a vaccine for this crap. Doesn't even make any sense. And so more and more people you're talking to are starting to wake up. And here's what is going on. Now they're having to try to pull back on the narrative. This is something that came out last night. If you guys saw this is an interview with Attorney Barr. Now, Attorney General Barr is the same individual who got the FBI sniper agent off the hook for murder charges that murdered Randy Weaver's wife in Ruby Ridge and shot her from like 300 meters away and blew her head off while she was carrying a child. That Attorney Barr, this is the same guy that's a full-blown totalitarian monster. You can read about his involvement in Ruby Ridge under the Clinton administration when he was AG then, and all the crap that he was involved in, and all the shady business stuff he did, and getting people out of charges, blah, blah, blah. The list goes on. I talked about it when he got basically appointed. Well, now, he did an interview with Laura Ingraham on Fox News, and basically says, yeah, I'm very concerned about the slippery slope of encroachments on personal liberty. I'm concerned about tracking people and, you know, these things that are going on, and we need to make sure that individuals are not losing their rights because of this right now, and we need to make sure they protect themselves, but we need to make sure their rights are maintained as well. And then she brought up the aspect of the digital certificate and vaccine. He goes, yes, I'm a little concerned about that, the tracking of people and so forth, especially going forward over a long period of time. Completely and totally sidestep the mandatory vaccine question and put it in a different direction. And I saw some people sent me this thing and say, Attorney Barr, he's changed. He wants to help the people. And I said, did you not watch the interview? If you listen to what somebody says, they'll tell you what their intentions are. If he came out and said, absolutely not, under my administration as Attorney General Barr, I will never allow mandated vaccines to be forced on the American public under any circumstances whatsoever, nor will I allow any digital certificate or tracking people on what their health is. Absolutely not. No, he didn't say that, guys. He told you exactly what they're going to do. I'm a little concerned about the tracking of people, so forth, generally, especially going forward over a long period of time. He's telling you that he's not concerned at all, and that over a long period of time, it may be something he will look at, but more than likely in that situation, no, because he was put in place for a reason. It's the second time he's been Attorney General. The first time, he was an absolute abysmal failure when it came to constitutional law and protecting people's rights. So this is what we have going on right now. Now you have Cuomo in New York is now saying that he came out last night and said it's now the lowest number of net new hospitalizations in a 24-hour period since the beginning of the outbreak, and that they've basically gotten massively over the curve and everything's starting to go down now. Why is he coming out and saying that? Why? Because they're looking at the chatter, guys. They're looking at the resistance, and they're looking at the pushback that everybody's talking about. They know. Remember, understand this, and I know this is really, really hard to deal with because I've had a hard time dealing with it. I'm not even going to lie. When you understand that the NSA data logs every text, every phone conversation, every web search history, every podcast, every comment online and social media, all of it's data logged. Now, what that means is that doesn't mean that every single comment, you have some person sitting there looking at everything that's going on online. That's literally physically impossible. It would take millions of people every single day to monitor all that. What they do is with data logging, this is what they have at that giant NSA facility out in Utah. All the information basically gets dragnetted, and it gets pushed into the giant artificial intelligence data logs. That's the only way you can do it with computers. And it goes for keywords, comments, phrases, letters, different specific words that basically are used repeatedly, and it prints out algorithms on them. And it starts showing, okay, there's this much chatter of people that are opposed to a quarantine restriction. There's this many people that aren't opposed to a quarantine restriction. There's this many people that are opposed to mandated vaccines. There's this many people that are not. There's this many people talking about this comment and tyranny and invasion of constitutional rights. And it does it all in a matter of seconds. This equipment, the level of technology these guys has, unprecedented. You think, or you know, your little Dell computer, your little Apple computer is faster than your house. This stuff is 1,000 times faster, if not more. So what they've looked at, they're seeing that there's a massive resistance brewing again. Look at what happened in Virginia when they went in and said, hey, we're going to start banning assault weapons. We're going to start confiscating AR-15s. We're going to start banning normal standard capacity magazines. You had a large percentage of the Patriot community in that area descend on the Capitol armed, well-armed, I might add, and then went, whoa, that's a standing army right there. I mean, that was, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of people ready to go just at the Capitol. That wasn't even including all the people that couldn't get there because they banned all air traffic coming into that area. So understand, guys, what we do, and some people go, well, it doesn't matter if we talk about it. It doesn't matter if we bring it up. It doesn't matter at all. You know, they're going to do whatever they want to do. That is only partially true. Yes, they have an agenda. Yes, they're going to do what they want to do. But they understand that when they're dealing with a populace of 330 million people, if they start a massive uprising and rebellion of people saying, no, we're not going to take a vaccine. No, we're no longer going to quarantine. No, we're no longer going to comply with unconstitutional orders. They're going to have a real, real issue on their hands because that is going to spread like a wildfire, and people start seeing it and realizing it and waking up all over the country. The internet has been a double-edged sword for just about everybody. Not only do we have all manner of filth and debauchery put on the internet, we also have a lot of truth and facts and real-life events. You've seen that with Facebook Live and other things that have occurred. When people start talking about stuff and putting it out there, and all of a sudden people start waking up. Because remember, an idea is so strong, just a little seed of an idea, once placed in somebody's head, especially if it's for good, it can spread, and it can spread rapidly from person to person to person. And people start waking up, they realize what's going on, and they say, no, we are not going to accept this. So I encourage everybody, keep forwarding these emails, keep forwarding these shows, keep talking about it. Bring topics up to people. Bring little snippets of people. Like Dad said, you don't have to hit them with the fire hydrant hose right off the bat if they don't know what's going on. But throw little comments out there and feel people out and see where they're at and start giving more people information, because if you have this information and you know it, you have to get it out there. That's why we do this show every single day. It's not because, oh man, I just absolutely love to read all of this stuff online every single day and do a show from 10 to 11 every single day. Granted, I do enjoy it and I like getting the information out to a lot of people. But there's all kinds of other things that I could be doing for an hour every day at the office, as busy as we are. But we do it because we know it's the truth. We know the information that we have, especially with all the connections Dad and I have. And it's our duty as patriots to get this info out there. Guys, it's also your duty to spread this information out there and wake as many people up as you can, Dad.
Awesome. That was really well said. I get a lot of info from a lot of people from a lot of high level places and top show personalities, etc. And, you know, we try our best to distribute it to the best of our ability without putting all of the ultimately horribly negative stuff out there, because some of the stuff is just fear porn and we're not going to push it. By the way, I had a real funny meme just come in, and I want to read this real quick to kind of bring up the mood here a little bit. There's this guy staring in a picture at you, and he goes, is there a tax I can pay to stop coronavirus, or does that only work for climate change? You know, the carbon tax. By the way, former GOP representative Ron Paul, who's the real deal, and I hate to say this about Rand Paul, he's done some good things, but that apple fell far away from that tree. Former GOP Republican representative Ron Paul calls on Trump to fire the top coronavirus advisor, Fauci, because he's a fraud. And he doesn't give any information. He's trying to have total control over the people. Former Texas Republican representative called on the Trump administration to fire Fauci. Paul said Fauci provided bad information after he lowered his national death estimates from the outbreak Thursday from more than 100,000 to 60,000. The lower figures, however, are contingent on continued socially distancing, continues that would effectively slow the spread of the outbreak. Paul, speaking on his program, Ron Paul Liberty Report, called Fauci's fraud, who was using his warnings as an excuse to have total control over the people. Paul, who's also a medical doctor, has called the deadly flu-like virus a big hoax. Meanwhile, his son Rand is only the only member of the U.S. Senate to test positive for the infection. Yeah, that's strange, too. Guys, think about this for a second. It's not a hoax. It's a flu virus with basically a SARS attachment and an HIV attachment. And if you are old and you don't have a good immune system, it can kill you. That's a fact. I mean, it can kill you. It can kill you dead. Like a grizzly bear will kill you dead. This will kill you dead. All right? But if you've got a good immune system, and this is what we've been saying to you guys since January, potassium iodide, D3K2, vitamin C, zinc, to build that immune system, use astragalus if you get a sore throat. This stuff's kind of like, you know, whatever. You got it for a few days, and it's come and goes. Because, again, they did it in the fall, in the wintertime, and in the fall. In China, remember, Wuhan has such pollution. They have very little sunshine, which prevented the vitamin D from being synthesized or the cholesterol of the skin. And so these people are very D-deficient over there. That's why it swept through Wuhan like it did. They always release these, quote-unquote, pandemics in the wintertime for that very reason, because of a lack of sunshine and a lack of vitamin D being produced. Keep your D levels strong. Keep them high. You know, take 5 to 10,000 IUs a day. Get your D levels tested if you've been doing it for a bit. Make sure you don't go over 80 on the scale for the vitamin D. Stay healthy. Guys, I love you. Have a blessed good Friday. Remember, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and we'll be glad in it. He died for you because he loved you so much. Always remember that. I love you guys too. It was my pleasure and privilege again to pray for you today. Austin, go ahead and finish it up.
Absolutely. And guys, thank you again for the continued support. Be sure if you need any health supplements, we've still been stocking up just as fast as we can on the vitamin D, the vitamin C. So keep your immune system strong. You know, keep your diet clean right now. Exercise. Take this time right now as things have been shut down to really just, you know, get back into shape, because now there's no excuse of I don't have time to do so anymore. You know, a lot of people say, I don't have time, I'm too busy with this and that. Well, now people got a lot of time. Take this time, get in shape. If you need anything, let us know. Healthmasters.com. Told you guys yesterday we got the joint rebuilding formula back in stock. That's our really, really advanced formula as far as to help with soft tissue rebuilding. I've had numerous people that I know that have been on had issues that they're going to have knee replacement surgery, that they're going to have all these issues, and they go on a real high protocol dose of that formula, and they've actually been able to repair their knee. Now, I'm not saying it can happen with everybody. It depends how far it has gotten, but it's great for that. Shoulders, knees, elbows, really, really great formula. So be sure to check it out, healthmasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the Hagman Show tonight with Dad. And just stay safe, guys. And stay prepped. Live in a spirit of just peace and love, but also preparedness. I'll talk to you guys Monday as always.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise.